the Mitchell brothers. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? I like it. I like those guys. They're pretty cool. Well, I got a cool word for you tonight. Andy messaged me a couple of weeks ago and said if I could ask if I could speak tonight, and he said, "You can speak on whatever you like." And I was like, "Anything? I can speak on anything?" And he's like, "Go for it. I don't even care if it's not about God." He didn't say that. And as I was praying, almost instantly, God just put on my heart, because I love to encourage people and I love to challenge people to think big and have a big heart and a big mind and believe that God's got big plans for their lives. And I believe God has a great plan for every single person's life in this room. And I just instantly, I was like, think big, dream big, have a big heart and believe for big things in your life. And that's what God put on my heart. And so if you got your Bible, I'd like you to open it to the book of Mark in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 30. The title of my message tonight is From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Has everyone seen the ad on TV, that superannuation ad, the industry super fund, I think it is, and they sing the song from, there's that really long break, from little things, big things grow, from little things, big things. I'd like to see this side of the room start it, and then we go to the middle and then to this side, okay? So just watch my hands, all right? So from little things, big things grow, from little things, big things. Oh, not bad. I want to speak tonight on from little things, big things grow. That's how it is. Thanks, Kurt. I believe that God has got big plans for every single person's life in this room. And do you know what? When God's got something big planned for you, it often and probably always will start small. And I want everyone to know tonight that we need to value the small days. And we need to make the most of the small days and the small beginnings. Because it's in those small times when things don't seem like they're meant to be, and we know we've got this big plan and call that God's got for our lives, but nothing's sort of linking together at the moment. It doesn't make sense. I want us to believe that the small days and what God's doing right now is actually really significant and really important. And those days are just as important as it is when you'll be actually doing the great thing that God has called you to do. Because from little things, big things grow. The key scripture is Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32, and this is Jesus talking, because it's written in red. And again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? Well, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest," everyone say smallest,
"smallest,
of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted," everyone say planted. This is what we do in Kids Church and Kids Rock. We get people to repeat. And when planted, it grows and becomes the largest. Everyone say the largest.
Largest.
Excellent. Of all the garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. I believe that big things start small. And God's got great plans for your life, but it's going to start small. And you need to know that, you need to understand that, and you need to embrace that if you are going to live the great things that God has got for you. Because God starts small, and it's just throughout the Bible about all these different people where God starts small. With Abraham, back in the Old Testament, back in the very beginning, God said to Abraham, "Hey, you are going to be the father of many nations. The people that come from you, are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky." And that's a huge deal. And he was going to be the father of all these people. And that's massive. And you know, it all started with one son. All those descendants, all those people that made up the nation of Israel came from one son that Abraham and Sarah had. And so God started small, but it finished big. And then I finished the book of Nehemiah last week in my devotional reading times. And he was a cupbearer. Do you know what he did? He carried cups. He was a cupbearer. And he carried a cup to the king. That's what he did. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know if there was more to it, and I'm guessing there probably was. But for tonight, he just carried a cup. The king wanted a drink. Nehemiah, get me my cup with some wine in it. And he'd bring it. That's what he did. He carried the cup. That's all he did. He carried a little cup. That doesn't sound very exciting, does it? Now, he did get to serve the king personally, and that's probably cool, probably scary, actually. But that's tiny. But you know what? He went on to govern the Israelites. He went on to become the leader of all the Israelites, and he started out carrying a cup to the king. There's David as well, who while all his brothers were in the army serving and fighting, little David, he was just a shepherd looking after some sheep. And that's not exciting. That's not something to brag about. Hey, I look after sheep. What do? Oh, you fight battles. I look after sheep. It's not that exciting, is it? It's not that great and amazing. But God chose him out of all of his brothers to be the king of Israel, to be the king of God's chosen people. God started small, but it ended big. And so the same is for you. God wants to do something big in your life. He's got big plans for you. He wants to use you for great things, but it's going to start small. You need to embrace that, understand that. You need to believe that, because things are going to happen that you don't understand, and it's just not going to make sense, but you've just got to say, God, I believe that you do have big things for me. Things are small at the moment, but I understand that. God, I'm just going to trust you and wait for you to move and do something awesome in my life. I've got a few thoughts on that tonight that I'd like to share with you from this passage in Mark chapter 4. And the first one, the first word that I got you to repeat was the word smallest. So the kingdom of God, he's talking about the church here, and he's saying, like, it's going to start small. But my plan for the church is that it would be big, that it would be influential in the world. And in fact, it might start small, but my plan for the church is that it would be huge, that it would not be just something that you could not know about. It would just be so large that people would know about it and talk about it, and it would be just so influential, and it would be a place where lots of people come and are healed and saved, and their lives are changed. But it's going to start small, like a mustard seed. Now, an interesting fact that I found out about the mustard seed, and I'm guessing Jesus knew this, and it's probably not something to get too caught up on, but it says in that scripture, Jesus said it's the smallest of all the seeds, but actually it's not the smallest seed, and so don't get caught up on this, but you know, apparently the orchard seed, I think that's what it is the smallest of all the seeds, and there you go, Jesus was wrong, no, but I kind of want to say this, he wasn't wrong, well he's probably just, never mind. It's about the story, all right? I want to say this, that sometimes we think we are the smallest. And just like Jesus said, it's the smallest, but it wasn't actually. Well, maybe he was saying that you think you are the smallest, but actually you're not. You may think that you are the most insignificant, worthless, useless person there is, but you're not. There's someone else. No. You're not. You're not the smallest. And God wants to use you and do great things in your life. You've got to have some fun along the way, I say. And I want to come against the I'm too small mindset tonight, because I believe a lot of people have that mindset that they're too small. I'm too small. I can't do anything great for God. I've never done anything great before. So what makes me think, or what makes you think, God, that I can do anything great now? Or Lord, I wasn't very good at school, so how am I possibly going to do anything awesome for you, God? Or like, I can't even get myself a job, Lord. What's going on? There's no way you can do anything great with me. And Lord, I'm so small. You just can't use me, God. I'm too small. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not too small. You are small, but that's for a reason, because God wants to use what is small and increase you and make you big and do great things through your life. You know, the enemy, it's in 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 8, talks about the enemy, the devil, that is, he's like a roaring lion, and he's like prowling around looking for someone to devour. And I think about this small-mindedness, and I don't think he's too hungry for a small-minded person, because they're not really a threat to him. They're not going to achieve much because they have such a small mind and they don't believe in themselves. And he's a bit more hungry. And I was looking up, in the Amplified version, it actually says that he's fiercely hungry. It's like Tom when he hasn't eaten in the last 30 seconds. He's ready for the next meal and he's fiercely hungry. And so the devil is fiercely hungry just to kill, steal, and destroy someone's life. But I really think that if you've got a small-minded, you're small-minded, and he's not too worried, he's not too hungry about for you. You're like the vegetables, and he's looking for the steak. And you're just not too appetizing. But I think for those that do have a big mind and do believe that God's got great things for their life, well, then he's hungry for you, and he's looking for those opportunities to pounce on you and take any moment he can get. When you make a mistake, you're like, oh, can I really do this big? And he pounces in and says, no, you can't. Or when things aren't going like you're believing that something happens and you just have this moment and he pounces in there. And I want to say, if you're the person that's believing, awesome. Keep believing, and don't give the enemy and any sort of area in your life to pounce in and what's going on in your life. And think big. Don't have I'm too small, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. I could never do that. You know, big's just a nice idea. It's just a nice principle or an idea that they talk about at church, that I'm going to have this great plan for my life. It's just nice to think that sort of, but it's not real. Don't think that. Don't be small-minded. Don't waste your time ever thinking that it's not worth it. It's not going to happen. Don't be small-minded. Jesus starts with small, and he wants to use you and make you large and big. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking of a guy in the Old Testament. His name is Gideon. Now, this guy was a champion. Now, Gideon, well, at the time, the Israelites were in captivity. Well, they were kind of under slavery. They're in a bad situation where there's this other camp of people. You know, I'm not going to explain it in lots of detail. And they couldn't do a lot. They didn't have a lot of freedom just to be who they were and do what they do. And in fact, everything that they, all the food that they farmed and everything like that, the enemy would come in and take it all from them, and so that they couldn't eat it. And they were in a really tough situation. And Gideon, he was at this point in time, he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And the reason he was in a wine press was so that the enemy wouldn't be able to see him doing that, so he could do that and provide for the people. And in the book of Judges, I was going to say the book of Gideon, there is none, God comes to him and says, hey, you're going to be a mighty warrior, and I'm going to use you, and you're going to do great things. And he's like, well, hang on, God, I'm the least, our clan is the least of the least, and I'm the smallest in my clan. How can that ever happen? And he was small-minded. And you know what? He was doing something that wasn't even great. You know, threshing wheat was actually the job of an animal. They'd get animals to trample over the wheat to separate the grain from the stalk and that. But that was an animal's job because that was a big job. But he was actually doing it in a wine press. And he was probably in this situation going, what the heck, God? Like, you've got all these great promises for your people, and here I am in a little wine press threshing wheat. This is not for me. This is not what I'm meant to do, God. And what I want us to take away from that is God came to him while he was actually doing something. And the temptation is for us when things aren't going well and it's not making sense and everything's really small, is just to give up and say, well, God's got nothing for me. I'm not going to do anything about it. But Gideon, he was different. He was actually doing what needed to be done. And he was serving, and he was serving in an area that no one could see him. He wasn't doing anything prominent or anything that was, you know, people could see and go, oh, wow, look at him. And because he was the least of the least, he probably got pushed into doing this job. And I want to say to you, things are going to start small, but don't give up and don't just say, you know what, this is rubbish. I don't understand anything that's going on right now, and it's not making sense to me. But yeah, I'm just going to give up. I want to challenge you to be like Gideon and just get in and do what needs to be done. Just do what you have to do. Maybe for you that just keep looking for jobs, just keep studying and the course that you're in. Just keep hanging in there and doing what you're meant to do. Keep seeking God. Keep reading the Bible. Just keep doing the things that you are doing, even though they don't make sense at the time. And God will come at the right time, and He will come and meet you. He will come and meet you where you're at while you're actually serving. And I don't think He'll come to you when you're lazing about at home, just giving up, saying, "It's not worth it, God. I'm not going to, you know, I give up, God. You don't have anything big for me. Nothing's making sense in my life." Get in there. Just do what needs to be done in your life. I don't know what that is. But just keep serving. Just keep doing whatever it is, like Gideon. Just get in there and do it. So what is your mindset? Is it, "I'm too small, God can't use me"? Well, I want to challenge you that He can use you, and you're not too small. He starts small, but He's going to end big in your life. And I want you to really believe that. And if you do believe it, then keep believing it. Don't stop believing it, because the enemy is just there ready to pounce on you and trying to rob you of that. So don't stop believing. Keep believing that God wants to use you for something great. And just keep doing what needs to be done, just like Gideon. Just keep doing it, and God will come at the right time and elevate you and use you for the great purpose that He's got for you. So the next thought I've got, it comes from, "Yet when the seed is planted," when it's planted. I got you all to repeat that. And what I want you to sort of take away from this is that you have been planted and not put to the side. You know, as young people, we often, and I've heard it a lot, and we all know that we often don't know what to do in life. It's like, well, what is God's plan for my life? I don't know. And we spend a bunch of years just not knowing, and that's hard. That's tough. We don't know what to do. And that's just a reality. And if you want to put your hand up and say, like, "I've been through that. I didn't know what to do, but God brought me to a place." Just put your hand up and say, "Yeah, we've been there." Everybody goes through it. This is common. We don't know what's going on, and we're just in this place, and we just don't know what's going on. And I want to say to you, that's okay. It's fine to be in that place, but know that God has planted you in that place. And I was thinking about the seed, and the seed is surrounded by soil. All it can see is soil. All it can taste is soil. All it can touch is soil. And so maybe in your life all you can see is just this crazy job that you don't like, and or the study or the people in your life, and you're just finding it really, really hard. But I want to say God has planted you there, and He has not put you to the side. And He's planted you into that soil for you to learn from those circumstances, from those challenges, for you to grow from that time in your life, so that you'll continue to grow. And the seed, it doesn't see the expanse that it will fill when it's fully grown. It's just surrounded by soil. And so it's okay if you don't know what God wants you to do yet. It's okay. You're just a little seed that God is watering and using, and He's planted you in a specific spot. In the Greek, I was just looking up the meaning, and it kind of means that He's extended out to sow or to scatter the seed. And God has extended out His arm with you in His hand and placed you exactly where He wants you to be. And He's put you in the soil, and the soil represents the people in your life. It represents the circumstances that you're living in. It represents the school that you're at. Represents the job that you have, or the study that you're going through. That's what it represents. And God has placed you there if you love Him and you're serving Him. And He wants you to grow from that. And you may not know what to do, but as you continue to grow and grow and grow, the seed begins to grow and it begins to shoot. And then all of a sudden it sees what it's called to do, to be a plant and to fill this space. And I want to say, just keep growing, keep growing, keep allowing the circumstances to build you and to teach you lessons, because God is preparing you for something awesome. And He's put you in the soil because that is your place, and He's extended His arm to where He wants to put you so that you can learn from those circumstances and grow. And then finally, God will show you the plan that He has for you, and it'll all become visible because you've just been growing and growing and learning from the people around you and just taking it all in. God has planted you. He's not put you to the side. You know, we often think, man, all this stuff's going on. He's definitely put me to the side. None of this makes sense at all. What is He doing in my life? And another man in the Old Testament is Joseph. And he was a guy that, if anyone can relate to this story, that this message, would be Joseph. Because God gave him this huge vision for his life, that he would be this great, great leader. And he would influence and lead many, many people. And almost instantly, all his brothers beat him up and sold him to slaves, and then he got sold to another slave. And so all of it, like, he's got this vision for his life that God has given him, and then all of a sudden he's a slave. Rather than leading people, he's serving people, and he's serving as a slave. Then it gets even worse for him. And then throughout the story, as you read it, you find out he gets put in prison. Now, God's given him this massive vision for his life, and he finds himself as a slave. He finds himself in prison. What is going on? Well, God has placed him in soil that he wants Joseph to grow in. And as he serves in that soil and grows in that soil, God's using him and building him up so that he can be the leader that God has called him to be and do what God has called him to do. And what I love about it is, if it wasn't for all those things that Joseph went through, he would not be able to save his own family and provide for the whole nation of Egypt and for, I can't remember if it was all Israel, but at least his family that were there. If it wasn't for all those circumstances, and I want to say to you, if it's not for all the stuff that's in your life, it's not for the people that God has put in your life, if it's not for this church that God has put in your life, if it's not for your life group that God has put in your life, then you're not going to become the person that God wants you to become. Because that's the soil that he's planted you in. You're just a little seed. And he's extended his arm out and planted you in the soil so that you can grow and become everything that he wants you to be. Yeah. Now, the plant says, if it wasn't for the soil beneath me, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so that's a good tweet, if anyone wants to tweet that. Probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to people reading that unless they heard the message. But I want to say to you, if it wasn't for where God has planted you now, even though it doesn't make sense and you may not know what's going on and what God is doing, just keep growing and keep serving and doing what you need to do, and God will build you up and put you in that place, and he will show you what you're called to do. I don't believe that anyone in their life, that they're going to live their whole life not knowing what God's called them to do if they're seeking him and really just serving and doing what they're just doing what's in front of them to do. I believe God will bring every person to a place where he says, this is what I want you to do. This is the calling I have for you. But it's not going to happen unless you're serving and just growing in the soil that he's put you in. And so I really believe that's really important for young people, because we find ourselves working in crazy part-time jobs with ridiculous hours, and we're studying and all this stuff's going on, and then we're thinking, like, oh, God, what's going on? Like, I thought you had this great call for me. I'm just working part-time, and, like, it's just, I lose a job, I get another job, then I have to get another job, and all this stuff's happening. But God has planted you, and in the right time, he'll raise you up, and you'll, like the little seed, you'll push through the soil and come out and see all that he's got for you. And I believe that over your life. The third one is the seed becomes the largest, or the plant becomes the largest of all the garden plants. So it began as the smallest of all the seeds and grew to become the largest of all the plants. Now, I did a little bit of reading again, and I found out, apparently, I don't know, maybe in the day it was the largest, but apparently the mustard plant, whatever, is not the largest plant. There is another plant, and so Jesus was wrong again. No, he was not wrong. But I want to say this, maybe it wasn't the largest, but because of the miraculous work of God, the power of God, it became the largest. And so I want to say from that you can only do so much in your life. You can only grow to be so big and so influential and so successful in your life. But with the power of God and with his hand and his breath on your life, he will do the miraculous. And you will become the largest of all the garden plants. Because I really believe he wants to bless you and what you're doing and what your call is in life. I really believe he wants to bless that and put a supernatural power over that, so that it's not just you that's doing what you're doing, but it's actually God working through you. So that it is just not a natural thing that can only go so far, but God wants to take you even further. He wants to take you even further than what you can do on your own. I believe there's a miracle element to it, and that's God's hand over your life. And what started out so small, God will use you, and you just got to embrace the circumstances and the people that surround you, and he will use you to grow and to grow and to grow. And when he breathes on you and breathes on what you're doing, that it will just become bigger than it could ever become on your own. And I pray that you would believe that, and that you tonight would just realize that, hey, things may be small right now. I might not understand what's going on, but you know what? God's put me where I am right now, and this is where he's called me to be, and I'm just going to do what I need to do. I'm just going to serve where I need to serve and just keep reading, keep believing, and keep doing those things. And God, in his timing, as he grows you and you grow, that in that right timing, he'll show you the plan that he has for you and what he wants to actually do in your life. Zechariah 4:10, and I'll finish with this scripture and the band can come up. This is talking about, like, the Israelites, they built, God led them to this point, and they were able to build this massive, amazing temple, which represented the place where God's Spirit was, and that's where it was. And it was huge, and it was massive, and it was just so great. And then it got destroyed, and the Israelites got into captivity and were led into, And so they were in this place, and then as the story goes on, the king that actually taken them into captivity and made them become slaves, he died, and then the next king came. And this king was a bit more gracious, and God had moved through this king and allowed the Israelites that were remaining to go back to the promised land, to where God had called them. And then as the story goes on, they begin to build this new temple for God and for his spirit to be in. And a word from the prophet Zechariah comes to the people. And it's just simply, who dares despise the day of small things? Who dares despise the day of small things? And I just want to challenge everyone as we finish to not despise these days where you don't know what's going on, where everything seems small and insignificant and you don't understand it and you're doing things that just don't seem right. That just don't make sense. And think, but don't despise those days. Don't despise the people that God has placed in your life. Don't despise yourself. Don't despise the circumstances. But I pray that you would embrace those and you would learn from them and grow from them and allow God to do a great work in your life. So that what once began as a little seed planted in soil grew and grew to become the biggest and the largest plant in that garden. And I believe God's got a great plan for your life, and he wants to do amazing things through you and with you. But it's going to start small, and as young people, we're in that time where things are going to be small. And some here are younger than others, and things are going to be really small. But that's all necessary, and that's all part of God's plan, because he uses what's small to become the largest of all garden plants, and he wants to use you for something great. But please know that it starts small. God starts small because that's necessary. And he wants to teach you things that are going to apply to your life later on when you're living out the great call that God's got for your life. Let's all pray as we finish. God, I love you, Lord, and I thank you that you're an awesome God. You're a gracious God. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be forgiven and live in a great relationship with you, Lord, and serve you, God, and just live out the great plan that you have for our lives. God, I believe that you have a great plan, a big plan for every single person in this room, God. That you want to bless them and use them for significant things, Lord. You want to use them to reach people and to lead people to you, Jesus. And you want to use people in here to be a blessing to others and to help others. And you want to use people in here to succeed in businesses, God, and to own big businesses, God. And you want to bless people and bless ministries in here that what may be small now will be large in the future, God, because your hand is over them. Lord, I thank you that you have big plans for all of us, God. And I pray that every single one of us, Lord, would value the day of small beginnings. Lord, I pray we would value and embrace what surrounds us right now, the soil that we're in, the people that are in our lives and the circumstances, the challenges that we face, God. I pray that we would embrace them. And we wouldn't despise them, God, and write you off and write the whole thing off, God. But we'd stick in there and keep believing, God, that you have something great for our lives, God. And so I just simply want to pray for anybody that may be small-minded and don't believe they have anything big for their life right now. And I really believe that God put this word on my heart for people tonight, that things aren't going the way they thought they were. And so you may have just given up and thought, you know what, I don't know if I can keep believing. So if that's you, I just ask that you raise your hand. I just want to pray for you, because I believe God has got big things for your life and he wants to do great things in your life. That's awesome. That's great. Awesome for the honesty and the, yeah, great. Lord, I lift these people up to you, Lord. I thank you that you have a big plan for their life, God. And you want to use them for great things, Lord. I pray, Lord, against the small-mindedness, Lord, that the enemy just loves, Lord. And it's just so easy to be small-minded and just not to make the effort to think big or to dream big. Lord, I pray you'd put dreams in their heart. I pray that you would allow them to think big and to believe for big things that you want to do in their life, God. I pray you would do that, Lord, and I pray you would help them to really embrace the circumstances that they're in right now, Lord, so that they can be used for greater things in the future. And we're going to finish by praying for anybody that doesn't know Jesus and have a relationship with our awesome God, that if you want to get to know God and get into a relationship with him and live the great life that he's got for you, then we're all going to pray a simple prayer. Prayer just needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be long and detailed and all this. It just needs to be simple and honest. And we're all going to pray a simple prayer together to help those that may want to make that decision tonight. So the prayer is going to come up on the screen and we're going to pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Awesome. We're going to finish in some praise and give God some glory.